Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله أضعاف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد This is the 12th sitting Treatment of Suspicion and Spying Dhan and Tajassus Three kinds of treatment. Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi said, suspicion, dhan, tajassus, spying, and backbiting are treated by adopting humility and banishing arrogance, takabbur, from the heart as the durable treatment. Adopting humility and banishing arrogance and takabbur from the heart. Until the real malady is cured, treat backbiting immediately. In these ways, backbiting has to be treated immediately in these ways until that malady is completely cured. One. Practice consideration and ponderance. Practice consideration and ponderance, which means to think. Think before you speak, basically. Think. Two, impose penalty on lapse. That if you continue to backbite, put some penalty on yourself for that. Three, when suspicion is aroused, turn your attention to dhikrullah. And that dhan comes in, turn one's attention to the dhikr of Allah. And the like kind of devotional exercise from Anfasi Isa. This is the matan of the book. Mufti Taqi Usmani comments on this qawl of Maulana Thanwi, alayhimur rahma. The Honorable Maulana, Rahmatul Alayhi, has suggested two kinds of treatment. One of them is durable, while the other is temporary and urgent. The latter is of three types. To resort to thinking and contemplation, which is to measure what one wishes to say, before delivering the words, and to utter them only if they are worthwhile. The silence of Imam al-Shafi'i alayhi rahma. If anyone asked Imam al-Shafi'i a question, he kept quiet and did not give a prompt answer. Somebody asked him, the Maulana, Imam al-Shafi'i, people ask you questions but you keep quiet for long. Why is it so? He said, "Hatta a'rifa anna al-fadla fi al-sukuti aw fi al-kalam." Until I know what the virtue lies in. Is it in silence? Or is it in speech? "Hatta a'rifa anna al-fadla fi al-sukuti aw fi al-kalam." In fact, he practiced the theory, the simple theory, way before you speak. Weigh, measure before you speak. The story of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, punished the tongue. Siddiq Akbar punished the tongue. It is reported that once Siddiq Akbar, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was twisting his tongue. He was asked by those who saw him, Ya Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, why do you do it? He said, Inna hadha awradani fil mawarid. Inna hadha awradani fil mawarid. It has placed me in locations of destructions. Inna hadha awradani fil mawarid. Who said that? He was Siddiq Akbar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And what does Siddiq stand for? Oh, he was the mirror of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asserts that the tongue has put him in ruin. Those whom Allah has granted the ability to think and contemplate, they are careful when they use their tongue. And they find ways to be aware and have the presence of mind. They find the ways. If man uses his tongue in the right way, the tongue is a great thing. Otherwise, it is a very, very bad organ. It is the tongue that takes the user to Jannah, and it is the same thing that takes him to Jahannam. If he recites the kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, from the core of his heart with conviction, then a kafir, disbeliever, saves himself from hell and earns entry into Jannah. And if a Muslim utters a word of kufr, disbelief, with his tongue, then he will go straight to Jahannam. A hadith tells us that people will be cast face down into Jahannam because of the misuse of their tongue. Wa hal yakubbu an-nasa fin nar illa hasa'idu al-sinatihim. So do give up the senseless use of this tongue, whereby we speak and speak what comes to us without considering it. Let us accustom ourselves to ponder before we speak and ensure that the tongue does not take us to destruction. This is the first step, immediate step, that we have to take. 3 immediate steps until the malady is not cured. First is through consideration and ponderance. This is the meaning of it. The mujahada, the struggle of silence. A man, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damod Barakatum, said, a man used to come to my father, Mufti Shafi, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. A man used to come to my father frequently. He was given to incessant speaking. And the moment he came, he would begin to speak, and there seemed to be no end. My father tolerated it. After a few days, he said, Maulana, I wish to offer bayat, allegiance to you, and establish a corrective relationship with you. My respected father, Rahmatullah, said to him, if you wish to have a corrective relationship, the first thing that you should do is apply a lock to your tongue. Apply a lock to your tongue. The tongue that moves like scissors must be stopped. This is your wazifa and your treatment. This is your treatment. Accordingly, whenever he came to the assembly, he kept quiet, and the treatment proved to be corrective for him. The next treatment, immediate treatments, 3 treatments immediately until the malady is not cured. Penalty against backbiting. Therefore, be mindful of what you say. Consider and weigh to see if what you say is backbiting or lies, permitted speech or disallowed, lawful or forbidden. Think over it. And if in spite of these measures and repentance and istighfar, you still happen to backbite anyone, then impose a penalty on yourself. If I backbite anyone, I will pay so much fine. But the fine should be such that it pinches when the pocket is emptied. It should not be as little as the people of Aligarh University impose on students. The penalty for missing Salat, you know, we read about that already. The students of Aligarh College had to pay a fine if they failed to attend Salat and Jamaat in the masjid. The fine amounted to four annas, which is 25 cents per Salat. So the students of rich parents paid their penalty for the whole month together in advance on the first day of the month. Therefore, the penalty must be one that hurts a little on the purse, or the penalty must be in the shape of four rakats of Nafil Salat against every act of backbiting, four rakats of Nafil Salat. Inshallah, that will help one avert backbiting. And I hope that we take notice how many chapters and sittings connected to this, because it's the biggest and most serious evil. Turn to zikr is the third immediate treatment. Another treatment is to turn to zikr. So first is to think, all right, until the malady is not properly cured, which of course is to bring in humility, to fight against the arrogance. But an immediate treatment for backbiting is this treatment of consideration and ponderance, thinking before you speak, impose a penalty, and the third thing when the thought comes is to turn to zikr of Allah every time one suspects another person, and instead of giving vent to that, turn to the zikr of Allah. We may begin to observe, turn to the zikr of Allah every time one suspects another person. We may begin to observe, and we know of course when we start to treat backbiting and we start to eradicate that, then the tajassus, the spying and the suspicion will also go away, because the purpose of spying, the dhan, the tajassus, tahassus, the purpose of that, the ultimate goal is to backbite. That's where the pleasure comes in. So once we start doing away with the backbite, and this goes away, that will go away too, and then humility is going to come in, inshallah. So the moment that comes in, that suspicion, that misgiving, that dhan, we may begin to observe istighfar, recite kalima, or recant and do tasbih and the tasbih, the zikr beads, and glorify Allah and turn our attention away from suspicion when that dhan comes in. Turn to Allah, zikr. So develop humbleness. This is the first three treatments. These were the transient treatment methods. The durable kind of treatment is to create humility in ourselves. That's the durable treatment. We have mentioned before that all these illnesses grow from arrogance and absence of a humble attitude, which is the dhan, suspicion, tajassus, spying, prying, backbiting. All of these illnesses grow from arrogance, takabbur, an absence of a humble attitude. There is ego in the heart which asserts what I say and think is correct. That's what the ego says and the nafs says inside of you. What I say and think is correct. I am very intelligent and a great scholar and a great alim. I am extremely pious and pure. The nafs talks that way inside of you. This is pride, which grows the urge. This pride grows the urge in man to backbite, to suspect and spy on others. The panacea lies in adopting humility. Ponder over your reality. The question remains, how to grow humility? The method is to hold the hand of a sheikh. One way is a person says he is humble. That's not humility. How to grow humility? The method is to hold the hand of a sheikh. For without being humbled by him, one cannot progress. Submit to his slap. Submit to his scolding. But attach yourself to him. Endure his glance and the natural urge against him. Insha'Allah, you will grow humility in a short time. However, before you find a sheikh and establish a relationship with him, at least ponder over your reality. Ask yourself, what am I? Is there any good in me? Tell yourself that whatever you have is the blessing of Allah. Be it healthy, beautiful, knowledgeable, or rich. All the blessings of Allah, whatever you have, be it healthy, beautiful, knowledgeable, or rich. And Allah, you know what? Allah may take them away whenever He chooses. A man may be sound and healthy, but Allah can take away his health anytime He wills, just like that. Strength and weakness. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, a relative of mine who has died, was blessed by Allah with great strength. He was really strong. This relative of mine, he broke a block of ice with a single blow. He would break a whole block of ice. And he never halved a watermelon with a knife. He gave it a blow with his fist, and it opened into two. When he was old and became ill, I visited him. He was lying on his bed, unable to raise his hand, that very same hand. I recall that he was the same Hamid who could break a block of ice in two with his fist, but could not now raise his hand by himself. So on what does man take pride? It could go any time. Do not pride yourself with knowledge also. A Maulvi, an Alim, prides himself on his ilm and knowledge, and thinks of himself as a great alim, a great scholar who knows much. But Allah can deprive him of his ilm, knowledge, when he likes. Often, Allah demonstrates this fact to us. We sit down to write something, but cannot think of anything at all. Although we take pride in our reading and writing proficiency, sometimes we forget how to spell our names correctly. What then should we pride ourselves on? Everything is granted by Him, and He may take away those things whenever He likes. The day we get these things in our heart and we throw away the idea of our greatness, that day we will develop humility. Listening from behind, the Maulana went on to say, Maulana Tanwi, which is the matan of this book, from Anfas-e Isa, Maulana said, to sit down behind something and listen to a conversation amounts to tajassus, spying. If anyone sits behind an object, he must make it known that he is sitting there, or he must move over to face other people. In short, his presence must be known. Anfas-e Isa. If two people talk to one another and you sit down behind an object and listen to them, then it is a sin and unlawful. It amounts to tajassus, prying and spying. Thus, anyone who is sitting behind a curtain or behind anything must make his presence known to the two people. Make it known to the two men so that they may abstain from private or secret conversation, or he may come forward and sit with them. But what is our approach? Today we do everything the wrong way, and people prefer to conceal themselves from those who converse with one another. They must realize that they are prying on others. What they do is haram. Honesty demands that they must declare their presence so that other people exercise care while they talk mutually. Cause of disputes. The Sharia has guided us in such a way that if we abide by its guidance, there would be no disputes in our society. Every time there is a quarrel or dispute among people, there surely is a Sharia guidance that has been disregarded. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is quoted in a hadith as having said, La yatanaja ithnani duna thalith. La yatanaja ithnani duna thalith. If there are three people together, let not two of them engage in secret talk, leaving the third to himself. Or talking in some other foreign language which the third one doesn't understand. Secret talk. It is not proper to do it because the third would feel that he is left alone. And the two are talking about him, and the Prophet prohibited that. La yatanaja ithnani duna thalith, leaving out the third. This will hurt him and break his heart. Do not, and there's another angle to the coin. Two people talking, but you're going and you're approaching two people. Do not approach two. Then to the third one now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave the command that if two people are already engaged in conversation, then another person should not join them, lest they have to cut short their secret talk. Let them confide with one another. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us all these things, but we have given the name of religion. When we talk about Islam, we have given the name of Islam to a few faraiz, like salat and fasting, and we think that is all of Islam. We have excluded from religion, ethics, and social manners. We have excluded that, which the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. We must realize that they too form part of his teachings. Crosstalk on the telephone, Mufti Taqi says. Sometimes it happens that telephone lines get mixed up, and we are able to hear two people speak when we try to call someone. It is not proper for us to listen to them. We must disconnect our telephone. If we listen to them, that is tajassus. That is tajassus, spying, prying, and that is haram. Reading letters. Similarly, if we happen to receive someone's letter, it would amount to tajassus to read it. It is a sin to do so. But you know what? There is some tajassus. There is some type of spying, Naseem. Some type of investigation is allowed when you could spy and pry. Sometimes tajassus is necessary as an administrative measure. Sometimes it is necessary. Spying, prying, investigating is necessary as an administrative measure. If the administrator does not resort to it, then there would be a terrible confusion. For instance, a responsible person can investigate if no serious crime is committed in his area of responsibility. It is allowed to him to resort to tajassus to this extent. To explain this, an episode, a story with Farooq Azam, a story of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to make rounds of the streets of Medina at night. Once, during such a round of the streets of Medina during the night, he heard songs being sung in a house, and the crackle of glasses. Umar thought that these people were singing songs and drinking wine. So he listened attentively to them and then entered their house by jumping over the wall and caught those people red-handed drinking wine and singing songs. The head of the group of people was very intelligent. He was a clever man. He asked, "Why do you arrest us?" Sayyid Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu said, "You were drinking wine and singing songs and you are guilty, so I have arrested you." This is Medina. The man said, "We are guilty of one sin." "Yeah, we were drinking wine and singing." "We are guilty of one sin, but you have committed many sins, O Umar. You have committed many sins. You spied on us. You did tajassus. You spied on us and investigated what was happening inside our house. Second sin you did was you entered our house without permission, while it is not allowed to enter anyone's house without permission. Your third sin was that you jumped over the wall. Although the Quran says, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Come to your houses. So come to your homes and houses through their front doors. And you jump over the wall. You didn't come through the front door. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu offered istighfar. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu heard him and offered istighfar for all three sins. He sought forgiveness of Allah, lest he may really have committed the three sins. If one of us had been in his place, we might have slapped the man telling us, who was telling us that. You commit a sin and then have the courage to object to my conduct, you would have slapped him and told him that. But these people, like Umar, also treated their nafs at the same time. So he did not defend himself when an objection was raised on him, but made amends through istighfar. So the decision and the fatwa now of the Sahaba. The question was then brought forth before a group of Sahaba. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu said to this group of Sahaba for fatwa that the man had accused them of committing three sins. "Did I really commit the sin of tajassus or not? Was I permitted to pry and do into their affairs or not? Was my entering their house as I did right or not?" The companions radiallahu anhum, the Sahaba, deliberated on the matter and decided that if the man who is responsible over other people, and this like Umar, if the man who is responsible over other people fears that corruption and wrong is being committed and it could spread in the society and ruin the manners of other people, then he is allowed to indulge in tajassus and enter a house without permission, jumping over the wall, he's allowed. However, if there is no fear of the evil spreading beyond the walls of the house where it is committed, then even the responsible person cannot engage in tajassus and spying of what going on in a man's private house. Then the jurists, the fuqaha of the Sahaba, deliberated on the matter and discussed the circumstances in which tajassus is allowed. Sorry, we finished with that. We're talking about the jurists now of our times and the jurists of the ummah. The fuqaha, what that is after the Sahaba. The jurists deliberated on the matter and discussed it further, the circumstances in which tajassus is allowed and in which disallowed. The judgment. Imam Qassaf rahmatullah alayh, has written a book, Adabul Qadha, and Allama Sadr al-Shaheed rahmatullah alayh has written its sharah and explanation. He has treated the subject at length and cited the opinions of the jurists on when tajassus is allowed and when disallowed. the conclusion is that when an outbreak of evil is feared, the head of state is permitted to do everything. Engage into justice, jump over the wall, enter a place without permission. He's allowed to do that when evil, an outbreak of evil is feared. But if there is no fear of the evil spreading, and a man is doing something wrong in the isolation and privacy of his own home, and there is no fear of it spreading, that evil going beyond his walls, then the head of state even cannot spy on him. We too, on our part, have some responsibility over Darul Uloom Karachi in order to investigate what is happening in the hostel and know the activities of the students, what's going on. We have to engage in some to justice, and it is permitted so long as there is fear of an evil spreading to the rest of the madrasa. Otherwise, we should refrain from it. Madrasa people should understand. So long as there is a fear of evil spreading, otherwise we should refrain from it. Know that I am awake. Maulana Tanwir Rahmatullah Alayhi further said, similarly, a man may have lied down to sleep while other people think that he is asleep. They converse with each other while he is awake, but they're thinking he's asleep. So he must let them know that he is awake. However, if they talk about him and conspire to hurt him in some way, then it is proper for him to listen to them with the intention of spying. Commentary of this Anfasi Isa. These days, we see the reverse. A man who is awake pretends to be fast asleep so that he may pick up the secrets of those who converse with each other. Later on, he claims to know their secrets. This conduct is not lawful in the eyes of the Sharia. The Sharia tells us that a person who is awake should disclose that fact on such occasions. However, if those people who are speaking to each other conspire against him, then he may quietly listen to them to save himself from harm. Disclose language known. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi has said further, besides, if two people converse in English or Arabic, and the third person knows that language, but the other two are not aware that he is a linguist, then he must disclose to them that he knows the language, and Fasi Isa. This is necessary, lest they confide their secrets to one another, and he learns of that without their suspecting it. The aim is that neither should man himself, engage in tajassus, nor let the means be available to him. At the same time, he should not cause other people a misunderstanding whereby they do not realize that he has access to their secrets if they are not cautious. He kept away from tajassus. Among the disciples of Maulana Tanwir Rahmatullah Alayh, there was a respected elder who knew the English language. And he was a respected elder. When he became a murid and disciple, his style of living became similar to that of religious men, the Maulvis. He sported a beard, wore a jubba, and so on. He was traveling by train one day, and two men sat beside him. The two men spoke English and conversed about a particular gentleman. They talked in English so that he might not understand, because they took him by his appearance to be a Maulvi who could not know English, so they were talking in English. They had just begun their conversation when the elderly man understood that they wanted to conceal their gossip from him. He knew that it was dishonest to listen to them. It was dishonesty to listen to them without their knowing that he understood their conversation and he knows English. So he told them, I know English, and if you have to keep your secret, adopt some other method. If you wish, I will go away elsewhere that you may confide to one another. This elderly man realized that the other two imagined that he did not know English and tried to confide in one another. He knew that if he did not disclose his knowledge, he would be engaging in tajassus. But why did he feel that they had secrets to hide? Why did he feel that way? And he must not listen to them, unknown to them. The reason is that he had spent some days at Tana Bawan. He had remained in the company of Maulana Tanwi Rahmatul Alayhi for some days. For otherwise, people do not disclose to others that they know the language that they speak. And if anyone does disclose it, he will do that to show off his own knowledge, that they may not take him to be an illiterate. I too know your language. He will not disclose it that he may abstain from tajassus, which is a sin. Rather, today it is regarded as an art, an excellence, to listen to other people quietly, unknown to them, an art. The listener hopes to reveal later that he knows their secrets, which they had planned to conceal from him. The point is that it is part of deen to keep these things in consideration. But we have excluded these things from religion today. If Allah enables us to be mindful of these things, then we get to understand them. May He, Allah, cause us to conduct ourselves according to these teachings. Ameen. End of the 12th sitting. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?